From Arrogance to Destruction. Commentary for the February 8, 2020 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. Suddenly the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall near the lampstand in the royal palace. The king watched the hand as it wrote. His face turned pale, and he was so frightened that his legs became weak and his knees were knocking. Daniel chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. Approximately 23 years have passed since the reign of Nebuchadnezzar had come to an end in 562 BC. Babylon has had a succession of brief rulers, Amel-Marduk, Nergal-Sharezer, and Labashi-Marduk, followed by Nabonidus. While his involvement in the circumstances of his elevation are not clear, Nabonidus became king shortly after Labashi-Marduk, a child king, was assassinated. He then departed for military campaigns in Anatolia, leaving his son Belshazzar in charge. Perhaps because he had confidence in his son's judgment, he delayed his return for 10 years, from 553 to 543 BC, staying at Taima Oasis in Arabia. He also may not have felt comfortable in Babylon, as he worshipped and elevated the moon god Sin in the Babylonian pantheon, while the priests of the city maintained that Marduk was a supreme deity. Whatever the reason, any concerns were set aside upon learning of invasion from the north. He gathered his forces and engaged with Cyrus the Great, who was leading a Persian force against the Babylonians. He met Cyrus's army at Opis, on the eastern side of the Tigris River. Suffering defeat in that encounter, Nabonidus withdrew toward the Euphrates, perhaps expecting the Persians to follow. However, Cyrus had a better idea. Instead, his forces followed the Tigris to the gates of Babylon and laid siege to the city. We know of no efforts on the part of Nabonidus to lift that siege. Perhaps he, like Belshazzar, felt that the walls could not be breached. We are told that, far from being fearful of the army outside his gates, Belshazzar threw a party in the palace, where wine flowed freely and judgment was impaired. He may have pointed out to his nobles that the gods of Babylon had preserved them thus far and would continue to do so. He and his nobles praised and toasted those gods. Then he may have thought to reinforce the perception of the power of the Babylonian gods by recalling a victory from the past, the destruction of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar in 586 BC. Calling for the vessels looted from the Jerusalem temple, when they were brought out, he encouraged everyone to drink from those vessels in praise of the more powerful Babylonian deities. At this provocation, we are told that God could no longer remain silent. A disembodied hand suddenly appears and begins writing on the wall. The message being written was to be seen by everyone, being written close to one of the lampstands in the hall, and therefore not hidden in the shadows. The writing was in Aramaic, which had become the common language of the Jews, evolving from Hebrew. We're told that Belshazzar shook with fear, perhaps in part at the sight of the disembodied hand, and perhaps also because he was unable to read the message it gave. At the presence of such an apparition, the hall may have become deathly quiet as the revelers ceased their carousing to watch. Then the silence would have ended as they attempted to discern the meaning. However, no one present could do so. Belshazzar then sent for Babylonian scholars to accomplish the task. The Bible refers to them as enchanters, astrologers, and diviners. These were similar to the wise men that would later travel to Israel after determining that the birth of the Messiah had taken place. Because of their education, they may have been able to read the Aramaic writing, but were at a loss to interpret it, even though Belshazzar had promised to make the one who could third ruler in the kingdom, after himself and Nabonidus. Their failure only increased the king's fear. The queen, perhaps the wife of Nabonidus, hearing the commotion, came into the hall and reminded Belshazzar of Daniel, who had interpreted dreams for Nebuchadnezzar, and that he was still available to assist. Belshazzar ordered him brought to the hall. Ironically, Daniel's Babylonian name, Belteshazzar, meant the same as Belshazzar's. Bel, protect the king. Yet Daniel was about to reveal the loss and fall of the kingdom of Babylon. Not knowing what to expect, the prince reminded Daniel of the reward of being made third ruler in the kingdom. Daniel, who perhaps already understood there would soon be no kingdom to rule, demurred. Looking around and seeing the articles from the temple in the hands of Belshazzar and his drunken court, he was undoubtedly not pleased. With the spirit of so many prophets before him, he stood before the profligate king and reminded him of the events recorded in Daniel chapter 4, pointing out that he knew what had happened and ignored it. Perhaps his father's elevation of the moon god over the existing gods of Babylon caused him to feel he had liberty to demote all gods under sin. Whatever Belshazzar's reasons, Daniel was having none of it. He explained this was the reason the hand had appeared. Then he translated the writing and gave the interpretation. The word mene, repeated twice for emphasis and meaning numbered, meant essentially the same as in modern English when we say, your number is up. His reign had come to an end. The word tekel revealed that Belshazzar did not have the weight required for his position. He had replaced the humility of Nebuchadnezzar with arrogance in ruling the empire. That arrogance had now extended even to his treatment of the god Nebuchadnezzar had honored. Therefore, his reign was to end. The final word Daniel interpreted, parson, had a double meaning. It meant first that the kingdom would be divided, perhaps more accurately, torn from him by a power greater than his own, and in a wordplay on those besieging the city. The word also means Persia. The dividing then could be seen as being ordered by God, but accomplished by the Persian dividers. In spite of the adverse interpretation, Belshazzar made good on his promise to make Daniel third ruler in the kingdom. But the Bible tells us that he did not outlive Daniel, but lost his life that same night. How the fall of Babylon occurred is not entirely clear. An account by Herodotus states that a spy entered the city and was then able to open the gates for the Persians. Another account in the Nabonidus Chronicle, perhaps written during the reign of Darius I, says that the citizens themselves opened the gates, tired of Belshazzar's rule and his insults to Marduk. According to Herodotus, who never visited Babylon and was writing about it a century later, the Persians also diverted the Euphrates and accessed the city through the river gates. This is the account that apparently Uriah Smith refers to in his book, Daniel and the Revelation. Nonetheless, the Bible says nothing about the Persians diverting the river and making an aggressive attack to conquer the city. Instead, Isaiah says that God will open the gates for Cyrus, but does not elaborate as to how. A more contemporary account seems to agree with those that say the citizens welcomed him and opened the gates. The Cyrus cylinder, an ancient cuneiform tablet from 539 to 530 BC, that records the conquest of Babylon, states that the city was taken without fighting or battle. While legend says Belshazzar died in battle, commanding forces against the Persians, the actual ruler, Nabonidus, capitulated and was treated well by the Persians, although exiled. The golden head of Daniel, chapter 2, had reached its end with the defeat of Babylon, and now began the time of the chest and arms of silver as the Persian Empire rose to power. Thank you for listening to this commentary on the Sabbath School lesson. For footnotes related to the references in this commentary and for other commentaries, please visit our website at www.visitstillwaters.com.